Today's another one of my midlife leap stories, and it's one that feels a lot like my own, maybe on a different set of tracks. If you've ever thought about doing your own thing, even though it is for sure not what you went to school for, and for sure not what you thought you were going to do for the rest of your life, but suddenly found yourself intrigued and with an opportunity, I think you're going to like today's episode. Learning from someone else and some of my own story about where we might go when we're open to opportunity, when we're kind of hungry and need to make some changes, and we're just listening for what the world has to offer us. It is the life of an entrepreneur. So today's conversation, I hope, gets you a little bit intrigued if you've been thinking about maybe someday doing your own thing. Welcome to Surfing the Quicksand. I'm your host, Kathy Bynes. If you know my story, I'm someone who knew what I wanted to do when I was growing up. I went to school for it. I went to graduate school for it. I started and had a really strong career in it, and then really had a change of heart for lots of reasons. It was the time in my life where I was in my 40s, and the world kind of gave me an opportunity to say, is this really what I want to keep doing forever? Or have I kind of developed some other interests or some other passions, or just want to spend my talents and time differently? And that's when I took a leap, my own midlife leap. And the one thing I can tell you is when I started that journey 13 years ago, I did not think it was going to look like it looks now, right? It was just the first leap for me. My guest today is someone who I think has a little bit of a parallel story to me. She started with a career in teaching, and then with changes in her own interest and changes in her family life and the pandemic and all sorts of different things, she made a big leap a few years ago. And also, what she's doing now is not what she started doing. I think we both have a story of discovering ourselves along the way through the entrepreneurial journey of risk-taking and experimenting and being okay with seeing how things go, only to discover things we love. I want to welcome Julie Thomas to, well, Surfing the Quicksand.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
You and I have met through a mutual friend, and when she knew that I was really looking up kind of that midlife leap story, the people have made some changes, she said, I really think you should talk to my friend Julie. And so when I learned more about you, and again, kind of the similar pathways we've had, only, you're a little bit younger and a very different career than where I was, you kind of found your own way through a new change, a new change, a new change, some of that through survival, some of that through interest and passion. Let's start at the beginning. Where were you in your first career? And how did you come to realize that maybe your first career wasn't going to be your forever career?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I went to school to become a teacher. I taught seventh grade English language arts for 16 years and absolutely loved everything about it. I was at my dream school with my dream administration and my dream seventh grade team. And honestly, I would have told you that it's the career that I would have retired in for a really, really long time. But about 10 years into teaching, my husband and I decided to get involved in some investment properties. And we were renting out in Montana a lot for snowmobiling. And we kind of had this idea of, well, why don't we own and we rent to other people because we keep paying for all these rentals and whatnot. And what if somebody was paying us? So we get this brilliant idea to invest in a cabin. And that turned into one cabin and then two cabins. And then another property in Arizona, another property in Arizona. And slowly we built our portfolio up to six properties. And it was at about this time that we hit six properties. It would have been, let's see, that would have been about 2020. I also found out I was pregnant. And it just turned into a little bit of a snowball effect. It's like I've got my dream teaching job. And we have these investment properties that we're managing on the side. And now we're having a baby, and it's in the middle of a pandemic. And
And we
it,
should mention you're living in Minnesota at the time. So
yes.
it's not like you were living in Montana and this was down the street and Arizona is a little inconvenient. So you were
No.
managing everything, all the Montana and Arizona properties remotely.
Absolutely. Yes. And we have some people on the ground who are helping us, like cleaning staff and maintenance staff. And but from a property management perspective, we were doing it ourselves. And so I'm teaching by day, we're managing these properties by night and growing a human being. And we have our daughter, and there was just this moment for me at about the time she turned one, where I'm just looking at all of these things that we kind of are working ourselves through, and just thought, it's too much. Something has to give. It's obviously not going to be the kiddo, so it's either going to be we need to sell the properties, or one of us needs to step back from our career. And I wasn't ready to say that stepping away from this thing that we had built on the side, even though it felt very much like a side hustle, I wasn't ready to let that go. And so I thought, okay, maybe I need to just step back from teaching for a little while and see how things go. And that's what I did. I just imagined myself talking with my daughter 20 years down the road, and if she was saying to me, "Mom, I have this thing that I really want to try," what would I have told her? And it would have been, "You need to go for it, and you need to see what happens," even though it's probably going to be the biggest pivot of your life, given that, I wanted to be a teacher since I was in fifth grade. That's what I saw myself doing, and I loved it, and I made so many great connections in that field. But this other thing came along that I just never expected, and I couldn't not give it a go.
You know, it's interesting. When I talk to teachers, and I have a lot of friends that are teachers, I hear them talking about kind of burnout being a driver for why they would want to make a change. And I'm not really hearing that in your story. And so the idea that you might say, "Ooh, I've got this thing, and I think it could be great. I mean, I'm already doing something great, but like, oh." I really think this could be great. I'm willing to give up the thing I know and love, at least for now, or put it on ice to see what could happen here.
Yes. And that, I would say, made my situation in deciding to do something different that much harder, because I knew that in stepping away from teaching and this dream position teaching and not being burned out, that the odds of me being able to step back into it would be rather small, right? It's a very small school district. It's not like there are only two seventh grade English language arts positions. So if I'm stepping out of one in which teachers stay in this district for life, for the most part, I knew that I was letting go of something that I probably wasn't going to be able to get back. And had I been burned out, in some ways, it probably would have been an easier decision, because it would have been just like, I need a break. I need to get out of this. This isn't working for me anymore. So it took me about a year and a half really sitting with that decision and continuing to stretch myself thin to really say, is it worth trying and giving up this aspect of my teacher persona? Is it worth it? And ultimately, I decided that that's what I needed to do. But I would also tell you that after giving it up, there was a whole roller coaster of emotions that came with that that I wasn't anticipating. Like, I thought it was just going to be this picture perfect, like, okay, I've made my decision and it's going to be a little bit hard to step out of it, but it's going to be so exciting to be continuing to build this other thing over here. And it got real lonely. Like, I left this incredibly social job and now I'm working out of a home office, which I had never done. And I'm by myself building this business for all intents and purposes, because my husband's also doing his thing and growing the other aspects of the things that we had discussed. And so that part was really interesting, not anticipated at all.
Similarly, so I left corporate HR and I was going to start Clever Girl Organizing, and I did not started with a whole bunch of clients just waiting for me to show up in their house, right? It took a while to build. And I also was like, oh, I'm used to going downtown Boston every day. I'm used to being in the hustle and bustle. I'm used to being needed and having my opinion valued and all the different things. And so I had an opportunity to work with an organization. It's an outplacement company, right? So an outplacement is when somebody gets laid off, their company might purchase for them services around career coaching or resume help or other things like that. And I was working with a company. They said, in fact, I was a client of the company because I had gotten laid off. And they said, why aren't you working here? Why are you building your business? Why aren't you working here? I'm like, why aren't I working here? And honestly, it was a way to get some of that social connection for me, get some routine, which turns out I was terrible without. I'm still terrible without. And some money, quite frankly, right? Because I did not just open up a business and poof, suddenly I was making my financial goals. So the idea of shifting to this was there for the taking. But I'm going to tell you, I struggled emotionally, right? It also felt like a compromise, I was settling, like, oh, am I really committed to this dream? If I'm willing to just say, oh, well, that's just a part-time dream, because part-time I'm also doing this other thing that is something I said I wasn't going to do. Tell me about a little bit about your emotional roller coaster during this time.
Yeah, it was a little, just as you're mentioning, it was a little bit financial, and it was a little bit social, and it was a little bit of you hear a lot of entrepreneurs talk about imposter syndrome, and it was a lot of that. Like, who do I think I am that I can go from teaching, which I was trained for, and that's where all of my expertise is, to managing properties and trying to build this coaching side into that part of the business, teaching other people how to do it. I knew that I could teach people how to get into short-term rentals, because that was the piece I decided to add when I stepped away from teaching, was trying to like grow it beyond just being a property thing into how can I help o other owners do the same thing. I knew I could do the teaching piece, but it was the running the business piece. I had never been trained in starting a business, marketing, managing the financial aspects behind the scenes, all of those types of things. So I was questioning myself a lot, because I went from, just as you're saying, having people give me great feedback and students who love me and would come back years later and say, like, oh my gosh, you were my favorite teacher, and I remember this unit, or I remember that lesson, to all of a sudden now I'm sitting here by myself and I don't know if what I'm doing is working, right? You want to measure your success based on how many clients you're getting, but oftentimes, anything you're starting takes a while for you to actually get the momentum to know what's working and what isn't. And so here I was already kind of dealing with this imposter syndrome of, I'm going from being a teacher to being an entrepreneur. And then if I'm not really getting clients right now because I'm building this thing and it sort of feels like crickets, does that mean I'm doing it wrong? Or maybe I'm not actually good at this business thing? And then you start to question the financial aspect too, because we had our properties that were bringing in supplemental income, but leaving my job, it wasn't supplementing to the level that of what I left. And so I knew that I had to really backfill with this new business. And if I'm not really generating clients consistently, then you're starting to feel that pressure at home too, of those conversations around the financial aspect and like, do we need to make some changes to our financial picture? Where can we cut things? How can we be more creative? And so it does, it puts this pressure on you then of trying to believe that it's going to work, but also being so worried that it's going to fail. And now I've left this picture perfect career that I had built for what? And that was the place that I was in until like June of this last year, was really just being all over the place on like riding that, feeling really good when I would get a client, then feeling really down in the dumps when it was quiet for a few months, and then not knowing where I should be out on social media or if my marketing's working. Like it's your brain is just going through these constant questions that can be really exhausting and hard to grapple with when you don't really have a sounding board, so to speak. My husband and I talked about it a lot, but it was very different from what I was used to in terms of a whole team of people that I worked with, and similar to what you're saying.
Yeah, oh, I can imagine that being a team teacher, because there are even teachers who don't really get the team teacher experience, and they feel a bit lonely. So I can appreciate how special yours was, especially in a way that you obviously valued it and treasured it. Then to go to being, we use the term solopreneur, right? We are entrepreneurs who are we're just it's a party of one. I have no employees. But it means I'm doing everything. Do I have vendors, right? Do I have a great person who manages my website and my email? Absolutely, right? Do I have a CPA for my taxes? Of course. But everything else, the direction, the decisions, the timing, the giving up, trying something new is all on me. And I found that, again, coming from a corporate world, I found that really unsettling. I was used to everyone else setting my goals for me. Like I would have a say in them, but for the most part, it was how am I executing against somebody else's agenda? And I really found setting my own agenda, identifying my own priorities to be a little shaky for me.
No, I completely resonate with that. It's very different when you, as you're saying, goals are kind of coming to you, objectives are kind of coming to you, your paycheck is coming to you as long as you're showing up and you're only taking a set amount of vacation time. But all of a sudden, when that is all on you and you're deciding what your day looks like, and then in your mind, your paycheck's being driven by what you did or didn't do, who you did and didn't reach out to, how much marketing you did and didn't do that day. It is a very, very different reality to recognize how I show up today for my business is either going to move my business forward or it's just sitting still.
Yeah, that there's the kind of that joke of like, oh, I wanted to create a family and life balance or life work balance. So I left my 40-hour work job and now I have a 24/7 job, right? Because it's on me. And I'm only making money today because I did something that made money today. We had the maybe the first or second winter I was in business was the year that in Boston we had 100 inches of snow, right? So I was. The good news is I was getting clients. The bad news is I was canceling clients left and right because of snowstorms. And I made a commitment to myself that any day that I was supposed to have a client, but it got canceled, I was going to do something with that time that furthered my business. So I was taking a class, I was doing a networking thing, I was doing something that it wasn't just like, oh, okay, bonbons today, right? Like it was very important to me. I didn't lose ground on the fact, like, just because I'm not directly making revenue doesn't mean I'm not investing in my business and furthering my business. But that takes discipline. And it takes a certain amount of creativity to think about, like, what am I going to do to grow this? Now, I want to talk about, so you started to get into coaching and teaching other people how to run a short-term rental business and things like that. And it's a little bit like me during the pandemic, during 2020. One of my biggest sources of revenue was teaching other organizers on how to be virtual organizers because I'd already been doing that for 3 years. I pivoted my business instantly. But it was, being able to find other people who say, oh, you look successful, or at least more successful than I am, at this thing I want to be better at. Can you teach me? So at this point, is this what you thought you were evolving your business into? Like that was the vision.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. As confident as I was going into teaching, I was 100% confident that I was leaving teaching to manage these properties and then to bring in a coaching aspect so that I could still be a teacher, right? And help other people earn additional income to help support their families and like allow them to do the things that they wanted to do because that's what it had done for me. And that's what so many people had asked us is like, how are you doing this? Like, how do you get your first house? And then what do you need to do with the first house to then get the second house? And like, how many houses is too many? And when do you know you can leave your job? And things like that. And so we had so many questions that in my mind, that was the natural progression of like, okay, I don't need to not be a teacher anymore. I'm just teaching in a different capacity and I'm doing it with this side hustle thing that we had built successfully. And now I can just help other people. So 100%, that is what for the first 2 years after I left, I was completely convinced and pretty dead set on that having to be the direction I was going to go, because that's why I thought I was leaving, and that's what I thought I was leaving for to do.
And so what did you like about that work? What did you like about this new chapter?
Yeah, so I would say the biggest thing is that it opened my eyes to what an online community can look like. Prior to doing this, my existence was very much within, right, my small town, who I taught with, who my friends were, where my family was. And all of a sudden, I hired this business coach who helped me get out on social media, and I was part of these different Facebook groups, and I joined a group called Boss Mom, and so then there's other ladies on there, and I'm having all this online collaboration with all these other women who are also entrepreneurs. And I think it really opened my eyes to what a different kind of community can look like. And even though you're not in the same physical space, the beauty of technology is that it makes you feel so connected, and you can hop on these video calls. I ended up coaching. I didn't get a ton of clients through that direction that I was trying to take my business, but the clients that I did get were from around the United States, and I connected to them all because of virtual reasons, social media, through some of these groups that I was part of. And it was really cool to help these couples stand up their dreams of a short-term rental, and I wasn't even in the same state as they were. And then we're doing these video calls, and they're walking me around the house that, I helped them work on and settle on and help them stage and come up with a design and different things. And it just was really, really cool to connect with people around the United States and know that I was somehow able to be a part of their story, even though I never would have been connected with them prior to leaving teaching. That was probably the thing that I loved the most.
I love that. And I think, again, I do between my virtual organizing, which feels so similar, right? I'm working with people on their goals for their homes. And then even the work that I do with career coaching and resume writing, I feel like through both parts of my business, what I tell people I do is I help people get unstuck and move forward in whatever is important to them. For some people, that's their home, and some people, that's their job. And then I start this podcast, and I basically want to help you get unstuck on everything. But it's like, oh my gosh, I am working with people all over the country in other countries just to help them with whatever's important to them. And it's such a gift that we have this technology and we have this kind of societal understanding that this is a perfectly okay way to work with people and hire somebody that you would never ever get to shake their hands in person with. It's crazy. I think that's one of the gifts of the pandemic, you know, the societal gifts of the pandemic is it's made working with people everywhere outside where you live so possible.
Yes. And I think there's certain industries that it works really, really well in. And like you and I, we can benefit from that. I also taught during the pandemic, and it's been interesting to compare the differences between those industries and the reality of trying to connect with people online. Like, I am able to connect with these other individuals because they are also very interested in getting something out of our interactions together versus what it was like teaching during the pandemic, in which you've got 28 kids in front of you on a screen and you're attempting to build this relationship with them. But kids, at least in my experience, that was a much bigger struggle to connect with my students during the pandemic compared to connecting with other adults post as an entrepreneur. And so that part ha was also interesting to me to reflect back on how different that experience was compared to my experience as an entrepreneur.
For sure. I hadn't thought about that of the, in some ways you're doing the same thing, but for a very different, customer, quote, customer, right? One who is saying, hey, we're all in, please change my life. Do you take credit cards? And the other is, I don't want to be here. Why do I have to be here? This is the worst. Right.
Yes,
No, very,
exactly.
very different clientele.
Yes. Tell me my
Yeah.
homework and then let's
Right.
be on
Right.
with
Does my camera need to be on? Right. All
it.
that. Yes.
Yeah,
Good.
exactly.
So you've kind of teased already that up until last year, this is what you've been doing. So what
Yes.
happens that invites another shift for you?
So I hit June of this last summer, and I felt very proud of the coaching business that I had built. I felt really proud of doing my own website and doing my own marketing and getting the clients that I had and the success that I was able to see them build. There was a lot of pride, but I also knew that from a financial standpoint, it was not going to be sustainable for our family to keep going down that road with the number of clients that I was able to secure. And so there was really this moment for me of like, okay, so if I'm not generating enough from coaching, what can I do differently in order to bring in additional revenue? And so I thought, okay, I could go back to teaching and just kind of let go of the coaching side and go back to property managing our properties. We had sold some off by that point in time and it was getting simpler. And so I kind of pondered that, but I felt like in my gut, it wasn't telling me that it was time to fully let it go. And so I thought, you know what? I've never done property management for people here in Minneapolis. I could get into that and help other people manage their own properties. They're not properties that I own, but that would bring in some additional revenue. And I could then continue with the coaching and managing our own properties. So I started reaching out to some local property management companies in the area, asking if they needed a property manager to like join their team to manage properties. And I got a lot of no's. A lot of no's. And I end up on a call with one, and I'm explaining to him what it is that I'm looking to do and like do more property management in the area. And he said, you know, we don't need that. And at this point in time, you know, you're trying on these video calls to not have the emotion come through, but I'm like, oh man, like, okay, what am I supposed to do? But he goes, you know what we do need? And I don't know if you can solve this problem, but he said, we need somebody who can help us with design. And I said, okay, so say more about what you mean by that. And he said, well, you know, we get these clients who are wanting us to property manage their homes, but they're not ready. They're not ready to actually rent. And they need lamps and end tables and bedspreads and cohesion and artwork and stuff in the kitchen and different things. And I started laughing on the call. And I don't know why that was my reaction, but it just kind of came out. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's my favorite part of everything with properties. Like when we've stood our properties up, that's been my favorite part is like taking these houses that are ho-hum and turning them into this thing that like guests really love. And you get great reviews and all this stuff. And so I said, well, I think I could do that. I said, that's not what my business is right now. And I was very transparent with him. I said, that is, I've been in the coaching space. I'm trying to help people get into rentals. I've never done anything in design other than for our own properties. And he's like, well, if you'd be willing to do this, let's chat. So I went and visited with him in person, and we came up with this whole plan of how if future clients that were coming to him, if they needed help with their properties, he was going to defer them to me as like a contracted company, and I would help them get these properties set up. So that was in August, and it was real quiet for months after that. And I was like, okay, I went from so excited, right, about this idea of like, oh my gosh, like this is going to drive me clients. I'm going to get this business. This is exactly what I was looking for, to silence. It was quiet all through September, quiet all through half of October. And here I am still dealing with this like financial side of like, okay, it's time. Like, time's a ticking. We got to do something.
And you've also kind of missed the maybe I should just go back to teaching because I'm
Yes.
desperate window. That was in the summer.
Yes,
Yeah.
that was in the summer, which is not ideal hi hiring time for teaching because a lot of the schools around here like to hire for their big major positions in more like March, April time frame. So I knew that I could go look for teaching positions, but I'm definitely not going to get like a cream of the crop teaching position. It's going to be settling for just a job, right? So I start subbing and locally at our school district, and all of a sudden I get approached about some long-term sub jobs. And I'm like, oh man, because now it's like a few months and I'm committing myself to a few months at a time. But I was like, you know, nothing's coming from this property management situation. We've scaled back on our own personal properties. Haven't had a coaching client in a while. Sure, why not? Like it's so quiet. It's not gonna matter. So I sign on, and no joke, 3 weeks into me taking these long-term sub jobs that basically fill out until the end of the school year, they start sending me clients, and it's one client, and then another client, and then another client, and it just has it's taken off since October, and we've finished 3 properties, and we have another 2 on the radar right now that we're working on. And it's just it's just so surprising how when I realized that coaching really wasn't working and that I needed to address something financially, how like it was like a pivot. And then I was super, super excited about the pivot to the design. And then it went quiet. And it was like I had to kind of pivot again to a backup plan of like, I need the income. And then all of a sudden, it ended up working out, maybe not within the timing that was ideal for me or what I would have preferred. I would have really liked for that to have happened back in August. But at the same time, like, it has taught me a ton about what it takes to be creative and open to opportunities, and the willingness to sometimes say, right now is just going to be a grind, and that's okay because I'm doing what I need to do, but I'm also giving it the space and time to become what it can potentially become because I don't have this financial stress sitting over here where it's like with every single email and every single like inquiry, I'm desperate for that to work, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's I have a couple things that come to mind from that part of your story, right? One is that, gosh, that hungry entrepreneur, so especially solopreneur, where we've all been there, or like we went out to lunch with somebody and it looked like it was gonna be a huge door opening, or like, oh my gosh, I got this call. If this works out, this is a game changer. And we get excited about it and we can start to build and start to see like, oh, this is where I'm going. Like I can already see 18 months from now what great shape I'm in because of this opportunity that really feels solid. And then you get that and you're excited, and then you're like, wait a minute, this did not work out, or work out the thought I way I thought it was, or I imagined it was going to be more lucrative than it ended up being. So that, again, that same kind of high and low that can be tough. It is, it's not, you know, doing your own thing, whether it's a side hustle or something that you're really turning into a fresh career, is not for the faint of heart. And there needs to be some resilience. And something that you've said a couple of times tonight is kind of, you know, your gut, knowing deep in your gut, you're being able to trust the now's not right or it's okay for now. And I want to hear more about that around, you know, your sense of that. And is that something you've always had? Is that something you've been developing through this phase of life? Because it sounds like it's been a really critical partner to you.
Yes, and I would actually say, so interestingly, if it had been up to my original gut, I would have just stayed in teaching. I absolutely like who I was at my core was the kind of person who would pick something, and that is just like I'm going to do that to the best of my ability until the day that I retire, and I'm going to love it and enjoy it and appreciate it for what it is. My husband is really the one who, when I think back to when we first invested in that very first cabin, he's always the one who's What if we did this thing, you know? And I had really wanted to play safe. I would say in a lot of aspects of our lives, more so that I wanted to explore the what ifs because the what ifs felt scary. But with that very first what if and exploring it with that very first cabin, and then exploring it again with the second cabin, and so on and so forth. And then him bringing up, like, well, what if you did coaching, right? He is really my more what if, like the one who's going to be the dreamer in our relationship that's going to spur the thought to be there. But I think for me, the gut piece changed. It shifted after I started doing more of the like going with the what ifs and not always just being the one who needs to be like in the security, the tried and true. This is what I went to school for, so this is what I'm going to do forever. I started practicing following that what if and like that gut check of like, does this feel right? Does it not? And I also, even though my husband would have jumped faster than I did, I also trusted my gut. And when I say my gut is like those little butterfly feelings. Does it feel butterfly and like I'm gonna go throw up in the toilet because this is a really horrible idea? Or does it feel a little butterfly and kind of has me excited to like see what's gonna happen? I think that there's a distinct difference there of like there's potential in this and I can feel the excitement out of it, or like, no, like in the pit of my stomach, something just feels wrong. And I took the time that I needed to not just jump into that. He would have felt a lot more secure in it way faster than I did. But that's where, like I said before, I left teaching, I sat in that feeling for like a year and a half. Really, just like when I do think about not being here anymore, what does that feel like? Does it make me feel sick? Like, ooh, this just does not sit right. And that means I need to stay. Or like, are there kind of butterflies, excitement, even though I'm feeling really nervous? And that was the part that I just sat and listened to for a really long time. And then I had to get honest with myself and not say the answer that my brain wanted to hear, but like be willing to say out loud, no, actually, I am excited about this opportunity, even though I'm feeling nervous about whether or not it's going to work out. And then coupled with that, because I do tend to be the type of person to want to go more toward like the safe and sane, like the security piece, is that I really had to tell myself, are you the kind of, or ask myself, are you the kind of person that no matter what happens is going to be willing to figure it out? And it's like, if the answer to that question is yes, it can be scary to go try something. It can be scary to leave you this dream position. But I also have to trust that I'm also the kind of person that if I choose to do that and this other thing doesn't work out, I'll figure it out. Like, I want to enjoy life. I want to love what I'm doing. And so I'll figure out what that looks like if I need to figure out what that looks like. And so that helped me with the gut piece too, if that all kind of makes sense.
Does and I really love that point of saying your natural instinct is not I'm a risk taker or I'm as quick to take risks as other people are, but to be able to say like, oh, but here's what I do know about myself. I'm somebody who'll figure it out if I need to figure it out, right? Like, what do I know about myself that can have me move forward? I think I'm similar in this way, right? I tell people, I'm not a big business idea. I'm not somebody who's like, ooh, I'm going to come up with the next big thing. Opportunities have opened themselves to me, and I've said, oh, maybe I'll. All right, let me try that. Let me see that. I have my Clever Girl Organizing Challenge I've done for 13 years. It's something I love doing. I have wrote my book. I've been on TV. I've done lots of really great things, but it's not because I'm sitting around and I'm saying, oh, this is how I'm going to build my empire. And it's going to be this and this and this. I even think that, coming up with the podcast for me was, I really felt this calling to say like, oh my gosh, I'm struggling with the kind with the, I'm struggling with the whole menu of things that I know all of my friends and clients who are kind of in their 40s and 50s are struggling with. I think I don't want to say I'm uniquely qualified to do this, but I think I am qualified enough to create something that I think people might value and appreciate and get something out of. And I know I'm good at talking. I know I'm good at interviewing people. I don't mind looking at a camera for an hour. I can sit on this couch for an hour. Like I knew the things about myself that would say, "Oh, I can do this." It isn't because I need to be someone I'm not. It's because I'm leaning into the someone I know I am and saying, "Where can that take me?" I want to
And
hear. Oh, God.
do you have the wherewithal to also learn what you need to learn, right? Like what you're saying, you know these things, but also do you have the wherewithal to say, and what I don't know, I can learn, right? And that's the beauty too of technology is you can learn how to do anything you want to do. You want to learn how to create a podcast. There are loads of videos out there talking to you about the equipment and how to do a podcast. And so you like myself combined, like here's what I do know with even if I don't know this yet, it's still just the power of yet. I can go figure that out.
And yes, and you and I think sounds like we've both had a lot of power of yets, right? Like this is what I'm doing now. It isn't paying all the bills yet. It isn't filling my calendar yet, but I'm going to keep riding it. And if it doesn't shape out that way, I'm going to adapt into another yet. So, Julie, I've loved this conversation. I kind of love the kinship of kind of again separate but separate equal pathways. I want to pivot to the quicksand three, which is what I ask all of my clients and really help. I feel like I learn something every time I ask somebody with kind of my own questions. So the first one is, what is a way that you get yourself unstuck, a tip or technique that you use to face something and do something you've been avoiding?
So mine is to not allow myself to have or do something that I want to do until I do the thing that I don't want to do. And I will use an example that has nothing to do really with being an entrepreneur. So I really like my coffee in the morning, right? The whole process, the making my coffee and like getting the foam and pouring on the cup, whatever. But I'm terrible about drinking water. Terrible about drinking water. So if I love the coffee, I have to drink an entire, water bottle of water before I'm allowed to make my coffee. Now, could you easily say, yeah, but like you're the one who's putting that rule in place, so you could just skip it and go make the coffee? Yeah, but I'm also like by heart, I'm a rule follower. And so if I really set that as like a thing for myself, it works for me. And so I have had to do the same thing with my business. I never, ever have loved the social media side, the marketing side. And I had to say, okay, you love tinkering around with the website, but you don't get to go do the website until you do five social media posts or whatever it was that the thing was. And so I stack my to-do list with the things that I want to do, always being behind the things that I don't want to do, because otherwise I would avoid it forever.
So smart. And again, it gets to, do you know yourself, right? And when I work with people, especially when I'm doing productivity coaching and things, and I talk about, are you a carrot person or a stick person, right? Like, do you need to go after the reward or are you doing things because you're trying to avoid the punishment? And once you know that about yourself, you can set up the structures that kind of get you there. Okay, second question. If money and skills and time and history and geography, all of that were not an issue, what's a career or job you might have liked to try?
So it's funny that I ended up in this design space because prior to teaching, I would have said I would have loved to have been in interior design. I just, but again, in my heart, I really wanted to teach, and so it was this career that felt a little like, in my mind at the time, it felt a little less impactful. Like teaching is a job that you really feel like you're making an impact, and I didn't fully appreciate, I think, how big of a difference you can make in the lives of people and spaces. With interior design, like that also has an impact on people, but I didn't really see it that way. So to be honest, I think I've almost landed myself in a job that had way back when time, money, all of that not mattered. I would have absolutely have dreamed about being an interior designer.
So
And
fascinating.
then I went the teaching direction instead.
I think I love that, and I think the idea that your dreams can be rooted in things you've talked yourself out of over and over again. I know I've had a few people on the podcast already who've said like, "Oh, my midlife leap is I finally got back to the thing that people talked me out of when I was 20." Like, "Oh, great. Great. I'm glad that you made space for it, but while we still had runway." Okay, my last question is, when life gets chaotic, what's a way that you recharge or hit the reset button?
For me, a walk or a hike, that's my go-to. I am big on being out in nature and not having the busyness kind of coming at me. I think it's a lot less stimulating for me than like listening to something. I'm not a real auditory processor, so like listening to music isn't going to be my thing, but like just getting out for a walk and just hearing the sounds that are out there and having my feet moving, that's always going to be my go-to de-stressor. It isn't always possible to have that done in a super comfortable way here in Minnesota because it gets really cold in the winter. And so I did get one of those walking treadmill, like the little
The little pads.
desk treadmills, like the little walking pads, and that helps me a ton. But now that I'm back and subbing pretty much until the end of the year every day, I'm getting my steps in and getting that
No
movement
doubt.
piece in, and so that really helps me navigate any kind of stress that I'm feeling. So
That's great. And I would say, going for a walk, getting out in nature is like such a common answer that I get on surfing the quicksand to that question. And it's always every time I hear somebody say that, I'm like, oh, I really do need to do that more. That is such a good idea.
And I know it seems so simple, and yet so hard to choose to do at the same time, right? Like putting the right shoes on and like, okay, do I have to put, walking clothes on and all the things? Do I have to like throw on a jacket and a hat and gloves, in order to go outside? But at the same time, nature is just so restorative, and I think we don't appreciate that because often we're filling it with other things that are going on inside of our houses, and our bodies just need, I think, nature to be sur you just need to be surrounded by nature because it just brings you to a different place of calm that sometimes our walls don't provide.
Sure, no
So,
matter how well it's been designed.
yes, right.
Good.
Too many to-dos in front of you, no matter how organized of a person you are, right? It's always you see that pile of laundry or you see that receipt on the counter. Oh, I have to go do that return. And there's something I think about stepping outside of those walls where it's like it removes that task list from having to be in front of you all the time.
It's very smart, and I again, every time I hear somebody say it, it reminds me that I should be going out right after recording this. Julie, thank you so much for giving us time and sharing your experience with us. And I hope what people take away is that as you know, if you've been thinking about doing something different, even if you're starting it again, I hate the term side hustle, but if you've been thinking about exploring something, it doesn't have to be all things, and it doesn't have to be all the money, and it doesn't have to be all the brand new identity you're proud of. It can be small, it can be something you start out, and it's something that, can just be about that power of yet. And it isn't yet what you wanted to be doing, but you won't know until you start where it might take you.
I really appreciated the conversation. Thank you so much.
Thanks. That was fun for me. I really enjoyed talking with Julie. And again, we do different things and we had different careers, and how we've been working with people still has a lot of bit of overlap, and how we've just kind of continued to pivot because we needed to, pivot because an opportunity came our way, whatever that is. That her whole point about kind of that power of yet, I think, is really something I'm taking away from this episode. I'm going to share in the show notes Julie's information on LinkedIn. So I encourage you to follow her and learn more about her business. And gosh, if you're in the Minnesota and Minneapolis area and you've been thinking about getting into short-term rentals and need to get some design work done, you know you're going to want to look her up. Thanks so much for being here. I really enjoyed this one.